Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others, would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten by truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things, precious truths, that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that a world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed, when indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to the light, must be revealed, let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud, Hallelujah! Yes, well, my brothers and my sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, we are back again for another episode. And this time, another very precious and special episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, again, so very thankful. Thankful to the Most High for this precious opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. The Most High has granted us for the healing, yes, indeed, for the healing of our people. For indeed, the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, directly has he told me, that I must tell you things, indeed, I must tell you things, that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and indeed, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. But the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has always had a plan to release his people from this myriad of confusion, of this world we live in. What, some 47,000 denominations, who knows how many religions, various political, national, social, and cultural differences that confuse our people not to know fully, my brothers and sisters, in all things, what is the path to peace, agreement, not knowing, my brothers and sisters, so easily, and wading through the mass of diverse rulerships and devices, not discerning so quickly and easily, my brothers and sisters, what is the pure, perfect path, pure conscience that would lead to peace? Yes, I said pure conscience, my brothers and sisters, that would lead to peace. And I say this, my brothers and sisters, for a very important reason. Very recently, the Most High told me these words upon awakening. And it was said, my brothers and sisters, with extreme certainty, I heard these words, which he spoke to me, saying, we must all, hear me, my brothers and sisters, he said, we must all hear heaven's cry, lest we die. We must all hear heaven's cry, lest we lie and die. My brothers and sisters, it is imperative that we must know. It is imperative, my brothers and sisters, that we must know that without question, if and only if we hear from on high direction unto righteousness. I said, if and only if we hear direction from on high unto righteousness, is there any power to see beyond the massive confusion that has divided this world? I said the massive confusion that has divided this world after so many differences that, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, we must know that a multitude of partial, a multitude of polluted standards cannot be true to the One Most High. We have to know, my brothers and sisters, I said we must know that as Yah is one, so must be. I repeat, as Yah is one, so must be his people. We must know, my brothers and sisters, the real meaning of the scripture when it says, be not deceived, Yah is not mocked. But if a man soweth, that shall he also reap. From the flesh, a man reaps corruption. From the spirit, eternal life. My brothers and sisters, such scriptures as these are only understood when we understand that the entire Bible testimony, I repeat, the entire Bible testimony is about teaching mankind how to see beyond all, every miscreant, fallen short standard after which men have sought comfort after having fallen away from the knowledge of the pure, perfect will of the One Most High. The entire Bible testimony is about overcoming such worldliness that has divided mankind after the designs of his carnal misinterpretations, the desires of his flesh, seeking to appease himself more than what is the pure, perfect will of him who is one. For indeed, we can only honor him who is one in seeking all that is pure, perfect agreement, beyond all contradictions, unto a true and lasting peace. We must understand, my brothers and sisters, that the adversary will seek to corrupt all that the Most High has given. As it is written in the book of Yehuda, they call Jude, and we must contend for the faith that is what was once delivered to the saints. False brethren have come into the midst. I said false brethren, it says in the book of Yehuda, Jude, have come into the midst, causing men to deny the one and only Lord Yah and his Savior, Yeshua, HaMashiach. And I call them, my brothers and sisters, knowing the ancient title, affectionately, the Kerti. He who comes, my brothers and sisters, with the light that cast out all the darkness, revealing the light the world would obscure, and exposing all those who hide the truth from you. It is imperative that we know, my brothers and sisters, again, that the entire Bible testimony reflects what Messiah said must be the goal of us all. We all must overcome the myriad of misconceits after the misrule of many. The scriptures tell us that what overcomes the world is even our faith. I want you to think about it. Those words don't simply relate to simply what anyone believes. Script says whoever believes in him might not perish. And trust me, there were many misrepresentatives. Faith must be faithful unto one Lord, one faith, one rule for us all, my brothers and sisters, one purging beyond all worldly misconceits, one allegiance beyond all worldly misconceits. This, my brothers and sisters, must be the goal of us all. It's imperative, my brothers and sisters, that we must know. I said it is imperative that we must know that when the gospel went forth, it went into the midst of a world corrupted after the multitude of diverse devices of men seeking to comfort themselves in a fallen state, a fallen sense of conscience, not the conscience beyond contradiction that was from the beginning. We have to understand what the scriptures mean when it says, in the beginning was the word, the plan of the Most High toward life. And in life, my brothers and sisters, in fact, the attainment of life, the attainment of conscience beyond all worldly contradictions, in agreement with the Most High, because, quite frankly, the Most High will not, I repeat, he will not accept. I said the Most High will not accept any of the variant misideals of man as his own. Man was created an anointed being. And the scripture says the Most High, the scripture says he breathed into man the breath of life, Genesis 2 and 7. Well, it means, my brothers and sisters, that man was given the neshama spirit, if you will, compelled to seek beyond himself for the perfect will of the one Most High, seeking with honors the holy name utmost, knowing that we all must hear from on high, that we must be one, and that whoever be a master among us must be a servant unto the Most High. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, in that man must resonate the thoughts of his Maker as purpose. We must know that we must, my brothers and sisters, learn what it is to forsake every evil thought, every miscreant ideal that comes as a result of man being born, if you will, after the misorientations of this world. We must be born again. We must perceive through heaven's eyes, my brothers and sisters, to hear heaven's cry, that indeed, my brothers and sisters, after the might and strength and righteousness of him who is one, that we must all become one. For again, my brothers and sisters, the only way man can honor the Most High with a righteous offering is that man seeks peace according to all the Most High has declared. On the other hand, my brothers and sisters, looking at the book of Yehuda, it talks about false brethren having come into the midst, warning that we must retain the common salvation that was once delivered to the saints. We must keep the commandments of the Most High against all worldliness, all those who would counterfeit, all those who would misrepresent the Holy Word. Those scriptures, my brothers and sisters, are telling us that we must be careful against the wiles of a devil who would establish alternate rules to confuse our people, that we discern not truly what is the will of the one Most High. Those scriptures which relate, be not deceived, Yah is not mocked, is better understood if we understand it in this context. Be not deceived, the Most High is never to be misrepresented. When you mock something, my brothers and sisters, you oftentimes, well, that word mock is used in other contexts. But the context that it should be understood with regard to this verse is that the Most High should never be misrepresented. Never should a lesser or corrupt misideal against his character be set up as a frame after which men seek to discern him. So often, in so doing, men establishing partial and corrupt standards, when they are granted opportunity to see the exceeding will of the Most High, they laugh and mock at the greater truth. So often, my brothers and sisters, because men have been taught corrupt standards, polluted standards, misconceits after the thoughts of men, believing corruption to be holiness, evil to be good, when goodness, when righteousness, when justice, when the true command of the Most High, the exceeding command of the Most High is revealed, men oftentimes choose, let's just say, to hear the lie rather than what is right. Scriptures tell us this, for instance, in Isaiah 56. We really need to read around 56:9 through 57:14. It says, men have mocked the Most High because they praised their kings, and after a multitude of corrupt ways did not discern their shame. The scriptures go on and tell us that when Messiah is revealed, that men have mocked the Holy One of Israel. And if men run to those who would comfort them in such vanities, they would all be swept away. For those who put their trust in him shall inherit the land and possess the holy mountain. Be not deceived, my brothers and sisters. The Most High is not to be misrepresented. Don't believe at all that any form of misrepresentation will be accepted by him. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. You don't sow orange seeds and expect to get olives, my brothers and sisters. And what it means is that if you uphold, accept, sow into your mind and heart, or the hearts of others, something polluted after the miscreant thoughts of men, don't expect to see justice or holiness as a result. Be not deceived. Yah is not mocked. He is not misrepresented. A misrepresentation of him will not be acceptable. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. From the flesh or the imaginings of the minds of men, the undisciplined minds of men after such fleshliness, carnality, carnal misimaginations, misrepresentations, and misrule. For the flesh, man reaps corruption. From corruption, man reaps corruption. From pollutions, man reaps pollutions. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, the Most High will not accept unto himself any form of false religion that comes as a result of, as the scripture says, man's righteousness being like filthy rags. He will not accept, my brothers and sisters, like it says in Isaiah 64, the result of man refusing to see and hear what the Most High has planned for those who truly seek and love him. He will not accept the result, my brothers and sisters, of a world that has become contaminated after the misconceits of man, where it says in Isaiah 28, there's no place clean. The scriptures tell us in Isaiah 28, therefore the Most High must restore a foundation. We need to talk about that. A holy foundation, my brothers and sisters, upon which men should not be ashamed. The scriptures tell us that because men have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness, mankind must be, his mind, his heart, his affections must be refined in allegiance unto the Most High. How else shall a people be converted, my brothers and sisters? Dare men actually believe? I said, dare men somehow actually believe that they might be converted to mutually worship a Most High, a Holy One, a God, if you will, that has no rules, after which men might be conformed to the will of one? Messiah said, go forth and convert the nations, make disciples of the nations, make teachable minds and hearts, knowing that the Most High will only accept what is true to his divine absolute. He said, go forth and teach all nations, therefore, everything that he has commanded. I said, go forth, he said, and teach the nations everything that he has commanded, baptizing, purging them, washing them pure of every misallegiance, according to everything that he has commanded. Matthew, they called it, 28:18-20, reflects what is also at Proverbs. I said reflects what also is at Proverbs 19:7-14. For the law of the Most High is perfect. It's a perfect law from on high that converts the soul. Dare men believe, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High is conformant to any of the corruptions after the minds of men? Think again, my brothers and sisters, think again. The Most High is not, I said, the Most High is not any of the varying misideals that men have established across, what, 47,000 denominations? Think about it. You can't have oppositions or varying differences unless someone has lied. When the scriptures tell us at 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 1:10 particular, it says, in the name unto the honor of the Most High, we must all speak the same thing, no divisions among us, saying that we must have one understanding. It means that there must be an absolute rule that all must accept. It is the false rule of men The false rule, changeable, diversely different and incohesive misrule, the flaw, the false rule of men that must be overcome. But we must, my brothers and sisters, discern and keep, preserve, maintain, learn to defend what indeed is forever, eternal, divine command. Why else did Messiah say, if you love me, keep my commandments? It means guard the integrity of my word, guard my way against every miscreant design, desire, and path that would lead men astray. Keep, guard, maintain, defend. Say, if you love me, it means that there is a standard that must be upheld. For sure, the world will seek to corrupt it. And many use the holy name after their own vanities, only unto the destruction of many. But my brothers and sisters, we must be wiser than that. We must understand, my brothers and sisters, there's no positive reward in mass misrepresentation. He has not to be misrepresented. And after misrepresentative, corruption, pollution, after any such misrepresentation, my brothers and sisters, the end result is not life. It's the same thing as reading the scripture in the book of Romans, where it says, there's a spirit of life and the spirit, my brothers and sisters, the law of spirit and life and the law of sin and death. It says, my brothers and sisters, that carnal mind, everyone wanted to walk according to his own will, is enmity against the law of the Most High, meaning that the Apostle Shaul just spoke about a definitive law from the Most High that leads to life. It is imperative, my brothers and sisters, therefore, that we understand what the scriptures mean. I say it is imperative, my brothers and sisters, that we understand what the scriptures mean then when it says, if we walk according to flesh, the imaginations of an undisciplined heart, then surely we shall die. But if we subdue, or let's just say allow, the truth the Most High grants from on high by His Spirit, to subdue the misimaginations, overthrow, overcome the misimaginations of man, then shall we live, and we should count ourselves blessed, knowing that the Most High desires, knowing that the Most High desires that His people should awaken beyond every misconceit. For the scriptures tell us in Zechariah, about 3 and 6, Revelation, how about Revelation 14, 1 through 5, that the people of the Most High redeemed are people who will speak no lies, who will do no iniquity, that will follow the truth of the Lamb wherever He leads. So again, my brothers and sisters, it's imperative that we must know, that we all must hear heaven's cry. We all must hear heaven's cry beyond all who would distract us, lest deceived and misled we lie. And my brothers and sisters, since no lie will enter the kingdom of Shamaim, the kingdom of heaven, since no lie will enter the kingdom of those who uphold the Shema, heaven's cry, we must know, my brothers and sisters, that it is every lie that we must cast. It is every lie that we must cast aside. Hear heaven's cry, Shamaim, the people of the Shema. The people know that our utmost law, our utmost prayer is called the Shema prayer. It's Messiah called it the utmost command of all, Mark 12:29-31, Deuteronomy 6:4-6. Messiah called it the utmost command of all. Therefore, the utmost law, our utmost prayer is called the Shema prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Most High is one. Our utmost rule as a people is that in the Most High and to the honor of the Most High, we must be one. We must seek Him with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might, that we as a people may cooperatively love and trust one another. The utmost law, the utmost prayer our utmost oath, and trust me, my brothers and sisters, the name of the Most High, preserving the integrity, seeking to learn and preserve the integrity of His name, His justice, His righteousness. My brothers and sisters, the utmost law, the utmost prayer, the utmost petition we must all have, the utmost command from on high that we all must obey, the utmost oath and vow unto the integrity of the holy name, knowing the Messiah said Himself at Johannes 17:1-8, He said, I make no request for the world. And make no request for those who would divide mankind against His righteousness. I make no request, He said, for those who would keep the people corrupted, divided, against a pure word that would be for the healing of His people. He said, I make no request for the worldly who will not hear, who seek to preserve the darkness rather than the light. I make no request, I make no petition, I make no prayer for those who would not hear the exceeding word from on high. He said, I make a petition then for those who would hear His words, that the conscience of men might be purged, and that men might be raised after the righteousness of one. Indeed, that we all may be one. He said, I with them and they with us. This was His petition unto the Father. Indeed, that we all might be one, that we all might agree, cooperate, love, and trust as one. This was always, I repeat, my brothers and sisters, this was always the plan. But we live in a society today that men oftentimes would rather hear the words of men than hear from on high what is necessary, the thoughts, minds, hearts, allegiances of men should be true to what the Most High declared as the plan of life from the beginning. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that from the dawn of human fall, I repeat, from the dawn of human fall, men have sought to comfort themselves in the mass of their own illusions, creating their own religiosities, their own ideals, to appease the will of the flesh, the desires of an undisciplined mind, creating their own religions, their own ideas of deity. And when men did this enough that they began to contend with each other as to the nature of what is, if you will, godliness. They began to even say that there are various gods in contention. If any man served any one of them, it was glorious that they stood up. Men stood up for their individual beliefs or the variant orientations and nations into which they were born. As if the gods themselves never sought for peace. And whoever stood up for his God was somehow considered glorious in the perpetuity of warfare. Look back at the pagan religions, my brothers and sisters, of Greece and Rome, and this is what you will find. But the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, I said the truth of the matter, is that we need to understand what has happened, and that men have sought to call themselves after state rule, monotheist. Hey, what they call, like I said, what they call it, a Roman Catholic Church. My brothers and sisters, there's no such thing as a church created after the ideals of men. There's no such thing as a pure body of believers after the ideas of any kind already established preset construct of men. I want you to understand what I mean by this. Rome already had its traditions. Rome already had its multitude of false gods. Rome already had a structure by which it established its political systems. Rome was not out to end those traditions, but to claiming to worship the Holy One of Israel, and didn't even want to call Him that. sought to preserve their own misideals. That ultimately, my brothers and sisters, men not knowing the difference would sit still in their corruptions. Isaiah 30 talks about those who, it says, woe to those who take counsel but not from the Most High, who offer offerings but not after his spirit, who only add sin on top of sin. Scripture says, I tell you in advance, this worship is in vain. Think about it. If men actually believe the Holy One of Israel, God of heaven and earth, the Holy One of heaven and earth, if you will, if they believe he has no rule, my brothers and sisters, if you're not under divine rule, whose rule are you under? The end result, my brothers and sisters, is a world has remained unconverted, not realizing, as I said before, the reason why the Most High sent his word from on high unto mankind is that man might, wherever he is amongst the nations, hear the word of one. For it was understood by those who believed of old that whatever the holy name and an oath unto the holy name, that the truth of the God, whatever the truth of the gospel was given, it was the obligation of all who would call upon the name of the one Most High, that they must exceed every misconceit, must discern what is pure conscience. To discern, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the kingdom of Yah. Not according to the misexamples that men see. I said, not according to the many misexamples that men have seen, but according to what the Most High declared, eternal from the beginning. What the scriptures say of Messiah, he will not judge according to what his eyes see, nor according to what his ears hear, and after the breath of his lips, in other words, the testimony of his mouth, shall he slay the wicked, meaning exposing every false testimony. My brothers and sisters, in hearing that voice, shall men, even of all nations, know what it is to seek true peace, seeking him beyond all those who would distract, beyond all those who would market themselves to appease carnal supply and demand. Yeah, we need to talk about that, my brothers and sisters, because the nations, as the nations of the earth, created their own ideas of deity to sustain their nations. So it has been, for instance, in this country. The men have called themselves monotheists. Prior to their so-called multiculturalism, prior to their diversity, assuring that the people who came here, that there were institutions to cater to the religious designs and desires that appeased variant men and their different mentalities. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, I must say this to you again. Woe on those who would market themselves, offering false comfort, offering, if you will, options, offering false gospels, not the pure, perfect word from above, as options, my brothers and sisters, only to confuse the masses while they claim allegiance unto the Most High. What their allegiance has truly been is only unto mass corruptions, abusing the holy name for personal gain. Woe on whoever it is that would do this. And I want to talk about soon how Matthew 5:14, speaking about a people who must be a light to the world, that we must all exceed all false rule. And the scripture even goes as far as to really say that if any man deceives his brother in any way, after such false rule, he is guilty even unto hellfire. What does that mean, my brothers and sisters, for those who call themselves pastors today? I know I've heard many of them say, well, I've heard people try to defend them. Well, they don't know that they're misguiding the people. My brothers and sisters, if you don't know that what you're doing is wrong, how do you know what you're doing is right? Who can preach the true gospel, the true good news, the whole pure word of truth, unless they've seen pure conscience in action in the first place. I find it amazing that so few ask what indeed is pure conscience. I find it amazing that so few ask what indeed is pure justice. But if they have you believing that the Most High doesn't have a law, if they have you believing that he doesn't have a rule exceeding your various rulers, who is it that they cause you to worship? It's imperative, my brothers and sisters, that we think about this. It's called the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Shamaim, the kingdom of those who hear heaven's voice, to love and seek him without resistance, with all mind, heart, soul, and might, according to all that is his will, that we sustain what is necessary to be a people unto divine honor. But it's amazing, my brothers and sisters, that Messiah said that this is the ultimate command of all for the conversion of the nations, for the conversion of the masses, for the changing of the minds and hearts of the people unto the will of one. But isn't it amazing, my brothers and sisters, that across this world, by and large, you hardly ever hear pastors really preach. I said, you hardly ever hear pastors ever really preach the Shema command and what it means that we have an ultimate rule, that we seek the Most High beyond ourselves, that we be one. You know, it's amazing what they call freedom of religion in a society like this. In a worldwide web of contradictions, what is that they call religious freedom today? Is it everybody's so-called right or license to worship after whatever appeases his own personal and social ignorance? Men not concerned about whether they deceive one another, just simply so that they appease themselves? The book of Judah, again, my brothers and sisters, 1 and 1 through 4, says that it is the duty of those who believe and all who are consecrated to maintain the common faith that was once delivered to the saints. What is that ancient truth that then must be remembered, my brothers and sisters? That we all worship true in accord to the will of one. The contradictions of today's society, the contradictions that today's society cherishes, quite frankly, in their multitude of differences, is just an adversarial pretense. An adversarial pretense against respect and reverence for what is the true, consummate, whole, pure, and complete righteousness of the One Most High. The scriptures tell us that pure religion, I will repeat that again, the scriptures tell us that pure religion and that we visit or seek to help, it says, in the fatherless and the widows. And in ancient Hebrew society, the fatherless and the widows are those who did not have in the home someone to teach them the ways of our people when many gathered together. It was the duty of the men to learn the ways of the Most High, that the family might be strong in the knowledge of Yah, to follow Yah, my brothers and sisters. And again, the scriptures tell us that whoever would be a master amongst us must first be a servant of Yah. To visit the fathers and the widows means to assure that all have access to the truth. And it says to remain unspotted from the world. I said, my brothers and sisters, that we remain unspotted from the world. If we read on, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures warned us that we should not keep the faith of the Messiah, of the faith of the Most High, after any form of, get my point, respect of persons, hypocrisy, lesser standards after the diverse ideas of men. And it warns, if we read, and I'm talking about the book of Jacob, they call it James, 127, reading on through the second chapter, and it warns, my brothers and sisters, we should not let the desires for material gain or material influence in any way corrupt our pursuit of the truth. To do so would be utter hypocrisy. Scripture said if we break one law, compromise even one law, we're guilty as to the whole law. Many of my brothers and sisters, there is a striving unto righteousness that must be sought by each and every single one of us. But we must understand, my brothers and sisters, I said we must understand that the heart of man must be pure unto what indeed is all that is divine desire. One scripture asks the question, Messiah asked the scribes and Pharisees, which shall enter into the kingdom of heaven first, or which does the will of the Father? The one who is told to do it, and he does it, let's just say, half-heartedly. Or the one who immediately, when hearing a command, wants immediately to jump up and do it, but somehow is detained, but his heart was willing to do the will of the Father. Well, it was asked the question, which one did the Father's will? Which one had the will, desire of the Father? Scribes and Pharisees said the first one, but hold on. Is half-heartedness pleasing unto the Most High? The one who wanted to do the Father's will with all his heart is the one who would seek all that is the will of the Father, that if allowed to do that will, he would seek to do it in a fashion acceptable, honorable, and pleasing. We must strive, as the scripture says, to enter into that peace. Talking about Hebrews 4th chapter. For the word of Yah, the law of the Most High, is living and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to discern the thoughts and intents of every heart. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who upon hearing the truth would strive with all their hearts and find it the ultimate gift to be granted the opportunity to walk according to all that is righteousness, seeing the beauty of what the Most High intends, that they find it a blessing to be invited unto such, that they, upon, if granted the opportunity to partake in such beauty, they would surely protect and defend it with all that they are. Blessed are they who will understand this, my brothers and sisters. Got a lot to talk about tonight with regard to these things. Well, today with regard to these things, I know I'm doing the show a little earlier than usual. And I do intend to rebroadcast this show. And I know a lot of folks will perhaps hear it at a more convenient time. But I do say to you again, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Yes, indeed. I do thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. And for all those who are here presently and all those who are here in the archives, yes, I do thank you for offering your time to listen. My brothers and sisters, freedom of religion, really. That's what they call it in this society. After they corrupt the minds of men, that at the end of the day, the options that are offered are still in so many ways uncleanness. How much prophecy is it, my brothers and sisters, that relates that we must await the day when Messiah comes to restore indeed what is truly a covenant, restoring all Israel beyond all the misconceits of the nations. Read Jeremiah 30-31. Read Acts 1:1-6. They ask Messiah, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Well, if we really understand that, my brothers and sisters, bring all Israel back to see what is righteousness beyond all the nations, beyond all the misconceits of the nations, that is the true restoration of a covenant. And a covenant unto the Most High is not restored till mankind sees what indeed is divine righteousness beyond all the misconceits of man. But this is a society that is strange in its beliefs and its habits. It is dared to call it free enterprise. Heaven help us. Free enterprise that men would cater to whatever appeases the desires of men, even where it concerns the word of the Most High. Men and all their multitude of differences. Hey, I can only say again, my brothers and sisters, woe unto those who, according to demand for supply, the rules of supply and demand, woe on those, my brothers and sisters, who would offer men options, marketing their own self-righteous misrule, offering their own brands after their own personal, if you will, lordship, kingship, pastors, priests, bishopship, whatever you call it. Woe on those, my brothers and sisters, who would compel men, blinding them after fallen standards, not to seek the greater truth. For indeed, according to Matthew 5:14-25, whoever would deceive his brother after such a manner against even the least of what is divine command, such a one indeed, my brothers and sisters, is guilty and even unto hellfire. And I have to ask the question, do the people really want it? How many among the people really want to hear what the scripture calls the good news? Good meaning whole, pure, perfect, complete. How many want to hear the whole testimony of the Most High that reproves all the misconceits of this world? Many have asked the question, what is the gospel? I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, I call this show Hidden Gospel Revealed because, quite frankly, what indeed is that pure, perfect word that leads to life is oftentimes hidden and obscured by what? The multitude of false righteousness, the multitude of injustices, the multitude of partial and polluted standards that a world has come to trust. The Messiah said, go forth and convert the nations beyond every fallen short standard, teaching them to do everything that he commanded, baptizing, purging them, and giving them opportunity to be initiated in the power of the Holy Spirit unto the true will of the One Most High. Anointed, my brothers and sisters, by a spirit that would teach them all things of the kingdom of Yah, that men not be left lacking to have anything with which or about which to argue. Such is the nature of a pure, perfect word from on high. So the question I have to ask, my brothers and sisters, how many want to hear the pure, perfect word that will never be spoken according to anyone's commercial advantage? Like it says in Isaiah 56:9, it says, all your leaders have all gone astray, everyone for personal gain. And to the very last one of them, flattery, my brothers and sisters, has become a big business in this world. Motivational speakers, my brothers and sisters, have gone rampant in the land, telling people whatever they imagine the Most High will be pleased with it, while the people's hearts have not been geared to hear all the Most High has said concerning what must be the mutual faith, belief, allegiance of us all. And so often, because your leaders know that the people will buy flattery. I've heard some of them say to me directly words like this, that whatever the people will buy, they are willing to sell. Woe then, my brothers and sisters, not only upon those who offer comfort after such folly, but woe also those, my brothers and sisters, who would entice the leaders. Like one pastor told me, say, somebody gonna get that money for giving the people what they want. And they are willing to do it. My brothers and sisters, Isaiah, we can talk about this in a moment. Isaiah 24 says, woe upon the master and his servant who would collaborate to break the holy covenant. I want to talk a bit about Isaiah 23:24-26 as it relates to Revelation 18. And that great city Babylon that has been willing to sell out true faith in the Most High for the sake of what the scriptures call filthy lucre for money. Oh, we need to talk about it tonight, my brothers and sisters. Today, we need to talk about these things. And I pray many of you who will get a chance to hear this show, who are not hearing this, it's an unusual hour for this show, that will hear it later, that they will understand exactly about that of which I'm speaking. Because again, my brothers and sisters, we might almost hear heaven's cry, the cry for oneness. We almost partake of that born-again experience to discern what is conscience, pure conscience beyond all the misconceits of man. And only someone who has seen that pure conscience in operation, heard from that pure conscience in operation, and truly preach the words, my brothers and sisters, that are agreement in the One Most High. And quite frankly, according to the Shema command, either we seek all that is the pure, perfect will of the Most High, or we are counted still yet hypocrites. I want you to think about it for a minute. The book of Genesis 17:1-9, Abraham was commanded to seek all that is the pure, perfect will of the Most High. And Abraham's true seed are also those who seek that perfect will, that there might be a people of one heart that can offer genuine blessing, healing to a world. Isaiah 59 talks about the confusion of the masses. And it said, because of this, Messiah must appear, because there's been no intercessor, no minister, no one to heal mankind beyond all the misconceits of this world. But Messiah said, be not afraid, I have overcome the world. And he said, unless you remain in me, you can do nothing. I'm talking about Yohanan, John 14:15. It talks about, my brothers and sisters, that the things that men could not ordinarily grasp after carnal minds, 16:12, Yohanan. He said, the things that men could not grasp after a carnal mind. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit can teach the remembrance of all these things, bringing all these things again to mind. Like it said in Isaiah 46:8-13, bring these things again to mind, O you sinners. Remember these things, O you sinners, and bring them again to mind, O you transgressors, and show yourselves. How about reasonable men? Come, let us reason together as one. That's the raising of human conscience. And whoever would not do so, the scripture says, that if we hear the truth, it says we shall partake of the good of the land. But if we refuse to reason in the raising of conscience for the mutual good of all, talking about Isaiah 1:18-20, the scripture says, if we refuse to sow reason, we'll be delivered to the sword, and the mouth of the Most High has spoken it. For the Most High has promised that his people will have. I say the Most High has promised that his people will have peace, will know what it is to agree, as one. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, our full potential in discerning anything justly, avowed as true unto divine purpose, cannot be wrought in the perpetuation of ignorance, cannot be wrought in the arrogance of ignorance. One scripture says it this way. Whoever will not hear the law, the Most High, even his prayers, an abomination. My brothers and sisters, should we pray against what is divine order? You know, I had to talk to somebody just the other day about this. They talk about people pray for some of everything. Well, my brothers and sisters, is a prayer to be considered honorable against divine will? A prayer is a praise in the form of worship. It is petitioning the Most High that we petition in such a way together that appeases divine will first. Do we say we worship someone if we pray against divine desire? My brothers and sisters, we should be far, far wiser than this. Messiah said, I make no prayer, no petition for those who would uphold divisive standards against the perfect will of Yah. We must be wise enough to know this. So, you know, I'm in Houston, Texas, and I have something to say about this. I mean, you know, this is a city like so many others, but this city in particular that has now been called the most diverse, multicultural city in the U.S. is proud of its diversity, proud of its so-called multiculturalism, in that it claims to have something for whoever would come here, catering to all the various desires of men, various orientations, wherever they come from in the world. And yes, you can find communities and shops, even as a place here called the Phoenician. It caters to people from wherever they come from, wherever they are in the world, for all their goods and their various needs. According to whatever, like I said, so much that people are familiar with when they come from their native countries, preserving their native cultures. But I have to ask a question, my brothers and sisters, for those who say that they believe that there's one Most High, shouldn't we understand that we have to transcend such confusing diversity? Remember what I told you before, when the gospel went forth, it was so that whoever would honor the holy name must seek conscience beyond all the various corruptions of fallen standards and false religion that have embraced mankind wherever in the world they are. Meaning that pure religion is to seek conscience from on high beyond all these misconceits, beyond every fallen short standard, beyond every pollution of corrupt misimagination. And false religion, my brothers and sisters, is whatever men would do to flatter one another after false comfort, to swear by the holy name after their own vanities, their own personal ideas, to maintain corrupt differences and misrepresentation, mocking or misrepresenting, disrespecting the perfect will of Yah. What do you think it is then, my brothers and sisters, where men are not compelled to seek the perfect will of the Most High, but to worship, like the scripture says, turning everything upside down after the precepts and doctrines of men? And it says it would be a shock for people to find out that what they had was corruption. The leader saying, who is it that discerns that they do corruptly? Talking about Isaiah 29:8. Need to read it, 29:8 on through like 30 and 15. Most High says that there will be a sudden destruction upon this, so that the vessels that will preserve corruption, there should be none of them left. It would be so much like a broken pot that there's not even room enough in it, a piece big enough to take water from a cistern. Like a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant, because the Most High can be pleased with none of this preservation of corruption. But we live in a society today, like I said, that in this country, for instance, people coming from a little everywhere. Hey, I want to say there's something for everyone. But my brothers and sisters, something for everyone, they say, according to their earthly orientations. But where is a true place, my brothers and sisters, for those true children of Abraham who would be a blessing to the world, who would help the world heal beyond us all, beyond all its misconceits? And that a true people unto the Most High might all in all things be one. What should we celebrate? Everyone having his different vantage point and opinion? Or is it the scriptures say we must come to celebrate everyone finally at last, seeing eye to eye the glory, honor, oneness, and the righteousness of Yah? Which should we seek to celebrate, my brothers and sisters? The variant, partial, perverse, polluted, adulterated divisions of mankind? Or looking forward to, my brothers and sisters, the day when, true to the King of Kings, we all honor the pure, perfect will of one. How we choose to answer that question, my brothers and sisters, also answers whether we've been true to pure or false religion. Whether it is the one Most High we seek to worship, or a devil in the multitude of his corrupt ways. Personally, I know the Most High is insulted if someone dares to call me or anyone bigoted, my brothers and sisters, because they don't accept to believe a multitude of differences as wise against the will of one. I know without a question or shadow of doubt, the Most High says, I am that I am, not that he is not. And I know, quite frankly, that faith has no color. I repeat, faith, the will of the one Most High, if you will, my brothers and sisters, is not determined by the pallor of a man's skin, but the content of a man's heart. Whether or not he is willing to seek the whole will of the Most High. Like I said, people talk about across the nation wanting to be called the children of Abraham. Abraham first founded the nation of Israel. People, my brothers and sisters, will supposed to be an invariant light to the world. If others will become true children of Abraham, that means they must seek the perfect will of Yah too. And there's no other hope for deliverance but this. So am I to be considered bigoted because I don't subscribe to a multitude of variant, polluted, and partial ideas? No, my brothers and sisters. Bigotry is a form of hatred. Hatred began in man's turning away from the perfect will of the Most High. Scripture says, Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him might not perish. Yah so loved the world that he desired to see it healed of its multitude of misconceits and differences. That whoever believes the truth, my brothers and sisters, sent from on high, might not perish with the corruptions of this world. For a day of judgment, a day of salvation truly comes, whereby it is written again and again and again that Messiah will rebuke every misconceit, every miscreant idea of this world. For by no means is the Most High desire anything corrupted after the filthy unrighteousness of men. Most High does not want, nor does he desire, nor will he allow the glory of his name to be tainted by the misconceits of another. Again, Isaiah 48, men have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Who is there among you who will discern this thing? The scriptures ask the question again, my brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. Who is there among you, my brothers and sisters, who will discern? How about beyond every misrepresentation of man? Who is there among you who realize that the Most High will not allow his name to be polluted? That he must refine his people, that they give due honor unto him. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that will discern this? Blessed are those then, my brothers and sisters, who will. And it's time we all must know this. Again, we all must all see as one through heaven's eyes, lest we die. My brothers and sisters, I want to talk a little bit about Isaiah 23. Isaiah 23 talks about a city called, likened to the ancient economic powerhouse, if you will. That was the ancient city called, seems to be spelled T-Y-R-E. Some would call it Tyre. Sometimes it's called Tyrus. But it's pronounced in the Hebrew like Soar. Something needs to be understood about it, my brothers and sisters. The scriptures in Isaiah 23 use the example. I said the scriptures in Isaiah 23 use that city in its diversity, its multiculturalism, its desire to be a port catering to all the variant ideals of the nations. And it was destroyed once before, my brothers and sisters. Well, Isaiah 23 goes into Isaiah 24 talking about a city of confusion, a city where its leaders have catered to the various ideals of men, and men and their various misideals, desires to be flattered, have made a vocation for those who would cater to, let's just say, desires, again, to be flattered rather than hearing the truth. Isaiah 23 talks about that city. It's called, in Revelation 18, calls it the great city Babylon. Really talking about more than just a city. It's talking about how across the world, I said across the world, oftentimes men have compromised the truth of the pure, perfect word of the kingdom of Yah to cater to the sustaining of the varying misideals of systemic institutions, national, political, social, pseudo-religious, that would keep men's iniquities to them a mystery. 2 Thessalonians speaks about the same. False leaders standing in your churches, flattering the people with pretenses, that they have no love of the truth, that they prefer unrighteousness less than with the fullness of what is justice. Isaiah 23 speaks of it, my brothers and sisters. Yes, it does. And if we read the scriptures on from Isaiah 23, relating this is a tremendous insult against the sanctity of the One Most High. Isaiah 24 speaks about a city that scripture says warned, it will be, once warned, it will be destroyed. Zephaniah speaks the same. I'm talking about Zephaniah. Those of you who listen to my show on a regular basis, you know I speak about an article on my website, Secret City Prophecies. Scripture speaking Zephaniah 2:16 to 3:6 to 3:13 talks about a city that be warned after the greater reproof of the Most High, after a testimony that it does not fall short, for the people would not realize their shame. But the Most High will do what is necessary to reprove all the variant ideals of the nations that are there, as reproof to an entire world, that there might be raised up a people who honor the refined, pure, perfect truth of the Most High. Refinement, who honor refinement beyond all misconceits, and the pure, perfect will of the One Most High, that they speak no lies, do no iniquity. Revelation 18 says the time will come that this city or this social orientation, misorientation that has corrupted the whole world, the day will come when no one man will buy any false leaders. I want you to understand that. The day will come when no one will buy any false leaders merchandise anymore. My brothers and sisters, Isaiah 24, after 23, goes into the 25th chapter, and it talks about death being overthrown in victory. In other words, every inconscient, contradictive lack of discipline that has captured the hearts of men, and men somehow believing that they have a reward in such, all such delusions unto destruction and death will finally at last be overthrown when Messiah appears as he for whom men should be waiting, that they discern indeed, my brothers and sisters, what is the righteousness of the One Most High. And the scriptures even go as far as to say that the ruthless of all the nations, in other words, those who would do anything for personal prestige, money, power, that cities and even orientations of men, that have various orientations of men across the world, whereby men have been willing to seek control over the masses in hypocrisy. It talks about even they, my brothers and sisters, shall be converted to learn to revere the will of one. But I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Though all this is written, how many know to prepare for the judgment? How many know to prepare for salvation, deliverance beyond every miscreant rule? Think about it. First command actually warns against the worship of any other standard but that which is the pure, perfect standard of the One Most High. Second commandment warns that men should make for themselves no manner of false rule, no manner of idol, no misrepresentation after the ideals of their own hearts, and call it worship so as to hate the Most High rather than love the fullness of what is divine justice. Third command says you should not take the name of the Most High in vain. You should not make an oath in his name. He says he is the great I am that I am, not as he is not. You shouldn't make any oath in his name, and his name is an oath, under any standard less than all that is his desire. So again, the Shema prayer. The word Shem in the midst of the word Shema means you should pray for the oneness. Pray for that men recognize and honor the Most High in the oneness of all that he is. Fourth command, the Shabbat, actually relates, my brothers and sisters, the word Shabbat means rest. It also means peace. It also means we must seek to become complete in all that is his divine will. For purity and completion only offers one choice. We live in a society today that doesn't seem to understand the wisdom of what Messiah said, even from, like I said, the book of Genesis, that we must seek the pure, perfect will of the one Most High, that we that all the nations be healed and restored to what was perfect conscience from even before the foundation of this world, for from the very before the Most High even made this world, its foundation being himself, being created unto his glory, was always about a people resonating the mind of one. And in honor of him who was one, it was always the duty of men. I said always the duty of mankind, that we must always seek to preserve all the Most High has declared. I said all that the Most High has declared. That it be preserved from generation to generation. That there be no arguments, no presumptuousness, no, if you will, misassumptions, no contradictions. This is what the Most High has obligated his people unto. When the scripture talks about keeping the Shabbat, it means that we all must seek all that is the perfect will of the Most High, that we remain a people unto divine honor after the will of one. But how many of us, again, my brothers and sisters, are willing to hear heaven's cry? Scriptures tell us, how shall we praise, honor one whose word we have not heard, and not all have heard the preaching of a pure, perfect word. My brothers and sisters, wherever the words from on high have been compromised against a divine promise, wherever the words of the Most High have been hypocrisized, brought down to a lesser standard to cater to the designs of men, men not being driven, inspired to seek the whole will of Yah, wherever such as this has occurred, my brothers and sisters, men have sought to constrain the words of the Most High after their own designs and their own minds, after the orientations of the systems of this world in which they live, after the false religion already extant in this world, wherever men have sought to taint, enslave the minds of men, after any conscience less than the fullness of the Most High himself would declare, wherever it is that men, my brothers and sisters, have sought to halt the flow of truth, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says all who would do this are condemned even unto hellfire. I want you to think about something. In the first century, what did Rome do? Millions upon millions, some say as much as 60 million in the first centuries, were murdered, martyred, because they upheld the truth of the faith as they knew it. There must have been something about that pure, perfect word and its reproof that the nations did not desire that caused them to retaliate against that pure, perfect word from the Most High. And what does the scripture tell us in Hebrews 12? All whom the Most High loves, well, Revelation speaks the same. All the Most High loves, he reproves. If a man be without that discipline from on high, he is a bastard and not a son. What then are those who refuse discipline, who don't want that discipline? Can they truly say that they have loved the Most High beyond all worldly distraction? Messiah said, if you love me, if your allegiance is unto me, guard the integrity of my word, all of it, against all those who are corrupted and therefore irreverently, disrespectfully misrepresented. He told his disciples that even after his, that certainly after his ascension, he said he would go away, but he knew in advance that they would need the Spirit of the Most High, that they might finally comprehend fully those things that he sought to tell them. He said in 16:12, there are many things that I long to tell you, but you can't grasp them yet. to the comfort of the Holy Spirit has come, that will teach all things, bring all things to remembrance, and even show them what to expect in the future. That their words might be consistent for across the ages, my brothers and sisters, true to all the Most High intended. But how many of my brothers and sisters want to hear that pure, perfect word unto one eventuality? You know, I had somebody the other day tell me that if everybody were thought the same, there would be no one inspired, my brothers and sisters. I can only tell you that this present age, is one in which it is, shall be decided who is it that can be a true disciple unto the Most High. Hey, my brothers and sisters, the Most High told me, until we see all the beauty of all the Most High has declared and foreseen must be upon this earth. They said, until we see all the fullness of that fully manifest. I said, until we see all that fully manifest, he told me, keep looking. Trust me, my brothers and sisters, the wisdom the Most High can reveal is absolutely in all things infinite. And I can only say that that individual who said that if we all thought the same, we would not be inspired or driven is one who automatically, and quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, this is one who in some respect fashions himself a believer. Someone who, I tell you, was on XM radio. But he fashions himself a believer, fashions himself, he calls himself a Christian, but at the same time calls himself deeply devout in his allegiance to these united snakes, these multitude of fork-tongued individualities that they say are divided in their let's just say united in their differences. What does Scripture say in Psalms 2? The kings, why do the nations rage? And why is there no peace? Why is there no covenant? Why do the nations rage and the people imagine vain things? It says because men have taken counsel against the Most High. Against how about his pure, perfect word? Against his anointed, his anointing. Against his anointed one. Against the Spirit that teaches all things and brings all things to remembrance. But Scripture says the Most High will put them all to shame because they don't want the discipline of divine guidance. Scripture says Messiah will one day come forth. And the Scripture says Messiah will come forth saying that the Most High will come forth through and speaking through his Messiah, saying that one day he would surely set his king in Zion, even to be his holy mountain, a kingdom, my brothers and sisters, that all worlds shall witness holiness, righteousness. Think about it. A law that's constantly changing, Can it make order? It says, he'll set Zion as his holy mountain, true unto the will of one. And the Scripture says, Messiah will come forth saying, the Most High said to me, this day you are my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me and I will give you, he said, Most High said to him, ask of, that if he asks of the Most High, the Most High would give him inheritance, even all the nations as his inheritance. He said he would shepherd the nations with a rod of iron, break them in pieces, all those who would not listen, break them in pieces like a potter's vessel, shepherding the nations with an unflinching discipline. So he says, be wise, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, O judges of the earth. Kiss the son, lest he be angry. And you perish from his way, while his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they who will put their trust in him. I'm talking about Psalms 2. My brothers and sisters, I have to ask the question. Why, by and large, have such words as this by the masses, 47,000 denominations? Why, by and large, words like this gone unnoticed? The leaders have not found it to their advantage, my brothers and sisters, that you know that men have called upon the name of the Most High, but unto nothingness, even unto their own destruction, when they seek in so many ways not to seek the fullness of what is divine will. In other words, get my point. What will destroy, seek to destroy the character, the knowledge of the character of the Most High, even in negligence, is guilty. Because if we really understand it, my brothers and sisters, the first command of the Most High is that in all things we must seek Him. If we love Him, my brothers and sisters, think about it. Do you have to ask somebody to seek that which he loves, that which he desires? Whose will do we consider supreme? Whose will do we see beneficent for the ultimate good of us all? Is it the diverse ideas of every man in his personal pursuit for power, affluence? Or is it the will of the one who made this world and set all things in it in order? What do we expect, my brothers and sisters, of one who has set all things in order, but he was also mankind? I say, but that he also desired that mankind true to the his mind, his oneness, that we all honor him, my brothers and sisters, as one. I think that's what we really, in fact, I know, my brothers and sisters, that that should be the ultimate desire of us all. I ask my brothers and sisters that you keep listening. I said, I ask my brothers and sisters that you keep listening. For many generations, the leaders of this world more desirous for their own designs than the healing of a people have neglected to speak this word. 1 Corinthians 1:10 again relates that in the name unto the honor of the one Most High, we must all speak the same thing, no divisions among us, and we all have one conscience and one understanding, one sense of even what is justice. But the rulers have sought to establish other kingdoms, even setting up others as kings and queens. And no question about it, my brothers and sisters, we look back far enough, we find that we are descendants of kings and queens. But my brothers and sisters, think about what the adversary did. He told people they'd be kings and queens if they turned away from the will of the one. And after such, my brothers and sisters, man was kicked out of paradise. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Let us discern what it is to be heirs of the one Most High according to the will of one. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Unto his might, unto his honor, and his praise always, I thank you, my brothers and sisters, for every ear that he brings near. And again, my brothers and sisters, unto his might, unto his honor, and his praise always, hallelujah! And I thank you all again, yes, I do, for listening. Please. Articles on my website, hiddengospel.com. Articles like, prophetic proof. Relate who Messiah said that he is. That all must prepare for the will of one. Articles like early church origin, relating what it is that were the thoughts that gathered people to seek the will of one beyond all the misconceits of the world. Articles like, the secret city prophecies relating what the Most High said he would do to end this massive injustice. What's the scripture say? The priests teach by hire, according to their own means, and the people love to have it so. What will he do to bring an end to this horrible and astonishing thing in the land? Well, secrets like this, my brothers and sisters, are found in the articles on that website, hiddengospel.com. We need to find out about those years of great tribulation that have wrought the misconceits we see in the world today. Article called Tribulation 70 to 365 AD, realizing that the Great Tribulation, my brothers and sisters, is not just the physical persecution that is troubled and left to dissension the minds of men, but the scripture is talking about those who come out of Great Tribulation. Also, there are those who come or seek the pure, perfect will of the Most High unto peace, beyond all the troubles, the contentions, the distractions of this world that have left the minds of men something other than that which resonate the conscience of the Maker. Blessed are those who will understand this. Again, I strongly implore you to, my brothers and sisters, admonish you that you seek out those things you find on that website. Because truthfully, my brothers and sisters, though many might despise my saying this, the truth is what it is. No one is complete, my brothers and sisters, until he is indeed complete. And there are truths, my brothers and sisters, that need to be told. therefore, that no man can live without. No man can prove that he be faithful to a word till first he has heard and embraced the word. Again, till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, offering also again a warning, not only to the pastors who would offer false comfort, not only offer a warning, my brothers and sisters, to the rulers amongst the people who would compromise the holy name for an avocation, not only warning, my brothers and sisters, the rulers who would market themselves, their personal brands of partial and impure standards for money, but also warning the people, my brothers and sisters, who want such travesty. I warn also my brothers and sisters who are willing to pay. Not only my brothers and sisters with their money, but their very soul for the perpetuity of an illusion that in the end, my brothers and sisters, is found only unto worthlessness. Blessed are those who again will hear heaven's cry. Will hear heaven's cry that all that the Most High desires be brought to be manifest on this earth. For what is the prayer? Our Father, who is the Most High, of the kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, where all, if you will, pray the Shema, Shemaim. Our Father, who is in Shemaim, the kingdom where all pray for the will of one, hallowed, holy, revered as one must be your name, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done, fully made manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Let us consider, my brothers and sisters, that the present Shamaim, that is the dwelling place of the Most High, and the Shamaim, that is the kingdom of Yah, that is to come on the earth, are both called Shamaim in the scriptures. And my brothers and sisters, all in heaven and earth must indeed become true to the will of one. Again, until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Miav, Covenant of Remembrance Ministries. Unto his might, unto his honor, and his praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening. Yes, I do intend to go through some of the things that I spoke about today with more elaboration in the days to come. My brothers and sisters, stay tuned. For what was once only a dream, but surely now, my brothers and sisters, be done.